Blog Talk Radio.
Look, I've never been perfect, but I'm worth it. I've never been perfect, but I'm worth it. This wild card weekend definitely put the wild in wild card weekend. Let's go ahead and take a look back before we move on to the divisional round. Welcome to another episode of The Football Jones. Hey folks, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of The Football Jones. This is your host, Arden, Sports Talk here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in once again. I'm not going to lie to you lovely folks. I really didn't know when I was going to go on the air for The Football Jones. I was thinking about doing a playoff preview show, but at the same time, I was also thinking maybe I should do two to discuss both conferences. Then I said, nah, I'm going to do one. Then I said, damn it, the weekend's coming up. I really don't know what to do. Plus, I had a very busy Saturday. So I said, you know what? Monday morning, why not Monday morning quarterback it and just talk about what happened? Because that is the best thing for everybody involved, especially for myself. So that's why we're here with the Football Jones, because this wild card weekend, woo, this wild card weekend was wild, man. I mean, so many things, so many interesting storylines to come out of this. For only four games. And who would have thought the wild card weekend would be this lit? I mean, where do we even start? I mean, should we start with Steelers-Bengals, with what happened there? The Cincinnati Bengals still winless in the last 25 years in the postseason. Down 15-0. Come back, A.J. McCarron, the A.J. Green. What could have been the game-winning touchdown? With less than 2 minutes left, Devontae Berfick getting what could have been the game-sealing interception, then Jeremy Hill fumbling it, and then Ben Roethlisberger and the crew driving downfield. And then Vontae's Berfick with that dumb hit. And then whatever Pac-Man Jones was doing after that basically gave the Steelers the game. And it was only right that the Bengals bangled themselves out of the playoffs. And let me touch on that Vontae's Berfick situation real quick. I've seen quite a few opinions on both sides in terms of this matter. Let me tell you something. And I hate to throw this out there because I don't want to throw this out there and say this as if, oh, I'm superior than you. But listen, folks, when I'm not doing this sports talk thing or any other job that I'm doing, I'm a private football trainer, okay? Along with basketball, but I'm a private football trainer, and I've worked with linebackers before, and we've worked on various things, including hitting and hitting in different situations. What Vontae did in that situation is completely stupid, okay? You can completely teach somebody and have it registered in their head, look, man, you about at least a few feet away from a receiver that you can clearly see cannot make this catch. Lay off. I know some of you guys are saying, oh, man, but, you know, Brown ducked his head and Vontae led with the shoulder. It doesn't matter, dog. Why are you even lowering your shoulder in the first place? I understand that in football you want to be physical and you want to set the tone and all that stuff and keep sending messages and messages over and over. But in that situation, when you coming over from the other side and you could clearly, and I mean clearly see that this receiver – cannot get the freaking ball because it's too damn high. You don't need to add in a little extra shot, regardless of what Antonio Brown does, man. Straight up, point blank, period. Lay off. Live to play another down. I don't even know where Pittsburgh was. I think, where was Pittsburgh maybe? At what? Maybe a little over the 50-yard line? And that stupid penalty basically put them in field goal range? And then Pac-Man? Look, Pac-Man, I don't know what you did, I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't know exactly what happened. I'm hearing he pushed the ref or he was talking to Joey Porter, whatever. But you got to know how to manage your emotions in that situation, dog, and not allow yourself to hurt the team. Because regardless of what you did, whether it was your fault completely or not, you just even made the wound open up more. Because Vontaze already put the Steelers in field goal range with his dumb penalty, but you basically put the nail in the coffin with yours. And it was only right that the Bengals basically bangled themselves out of the playoffs. I'm totally not surprised. I'm not. Like, you know, I'm totally not surprised, man. They would do that. To be in your building for a home playoff game, once again you come out flat, down 15 zip. It doesn't surprise the Bengals would do something like this, man. And, of course, nothing's going to happen to Marvin Lewis because nothing's going to happen to Marvin Lewis is because, once again, look at the head coaching market. Who out there would you really consider to be an upgrade over Marvin Lewis at this point? Nobody. There's really nobody there that would be an upgrade. You could say, well, they could fire Marvin Lewis and promote Hugh Jackson. Nah, that's a little weird. That's a little weird. I'd rather not mess with that dynamic. If you're going to let go of Marvin Lewis, bring in somebody new, then bring in somebody up in the organization, especially somebody that's established like Hugh Jackson. See, that's the thing in my opinion. If you're going to do that, then you might as well give somebody that's new, that's not an established candidate, the opportunity. You dig what I'm saying? Not somebody that's established, that's already going to have other interviews. Like, nah, man. Nah, don't do that at all, Playboy. But, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all that the Bengals done banging themselves at the playoffs, whether it was with poor play or poor freaking decision-making. You deserve to be out the playoffs. And when I look at the Steelers, I know they banged up. Roethlisberger banged up. Brown banged up. Secondary's looking kind of shaky. But they still have a legit chance at winning in Denver next week, as crazy as it may sound. Now, granted, Pittsburgh did beat Denver in the regular season, but that was in Pittsburgh. But I honestly think Pittsburgh has a chance. You know, I think part of the reason why is because you still have to see, for one, what Peyton Manning can do. And you guys know I am one of the biggest Peyton Manning fans out there. I consider myself the captain, or at least one of the freaking captains of the Peyton Manning ship. There's no denying that when it comes to Peyton Manning in the playoffs, it's a completely different ballgame, and now you're adding in him coming off of injuries. So you really have to see how he's going to do coming off a week of preparation, just seeing how his body reacts. And this Broncos defense, too. Honestly, this Broncos defense concerns me more than Peyton, because this Broncos defense, for as good as it can be, and we've seen it be very good at times, this Broncos defense has been exposed a bit in recent weeks, giving up big chunks of play, suddenly having games where they're giving up a ton of points. You know, that could be a scary proposition, man. Because I feel like if you're this Broncos defense, you need to be on your A game. Because even though Peyton Manning is at quarterback, I think the amount that you depend on him changes. Because you can't depend on him like you did and when he was healthy, when statistically he was putting up the great numbers. Like, it's not like before it was like, yeah, we just have to do our job just enough and then Peyton's going to take us over the edge because we know he's going to put up a certain amount of points. At this point of his career, it's basically like Peyton Manning has gone from being like that electrifying 30-point score to a 20-point score. He basically went from being Michael Jordan in the Bulls from, like, the early 90s to Wizards Jordan. From the Jordan that could dunk all over your head and do whatever you want to where I'm going to get this 20 on you because I'm smarter than you and because I got the MJ fadeaway. You dig what I'm saying? Like, that's where Peyton Manning is at his career. Peyton Manning really now more than ever has to rely on his intelligence. Has to really rely on being in the right situation. Before, Peyton Manning could thrive in any situation on the field. But now it's A. We have to really manage this thing right. We really have to. I will even throw out there, if Peyton Manning's down multiple touchdowns, would he even have enough in him to come back? And let me tell you again, this is coming from somebody that is the captain of the Peyton Manning ship. That's my guy, my dog. You dig what I'm saying? Peyton Manning fan since day one, jerk. If it wasn't for Peyton Manning, I wouldn't even be in the football. But yet, I'm being this real with you. If Pittsburgh was to go up multiple touchdowns, I'm not sure if Peyton Manning could come back. And that's honestly a situation that Denver should avoid being in. Because forget avoiding it because you don't want to be down. It's just because you're not sure if Peyton will have enough in him. So that's why I think for Denver, a fast start is an understatement. You need to get out the brakes hot, ready to go. You dig what I'm saying? You need to get off the gates hot. D'Angelo Williams may be back for this game. Well, I shouldn't say may. Let's say Mike. Might be back for this game. Stop him. Because I already know Pittsburgh, they're going to try to run in order to negate Denver's pass rush. You should try to nip that in the bud already. Roethlisberger, it's on you. You're going to beat us. And that's not trying to be rude or disrespectful. But at the same time, for as good as Roethlisberger is, you don't want a very effective Ben Roethlisberger to have a very effective running game. It's the same thing with any quarterback, especially the great quarterbacks. They're already dangerous to deal with by themselves. But then when you give them help, nah, you don't want that. So, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by this Steelers-Broncos game coming up next Sunday. I'm trying to go out for that game and watch it. Should I talk about Chiefs-Texans? Not really. Other than Texans, I hope you enjoyed your little AFC South division crown. But no, we're taking our little title back next year, man. That's all I got to say. You out here embarrassing the division. The division was making progress. We was making some gains out here. People was like, you know what, man? AFC South may not be as bad. And then there you go, getting beat 30-0. You know what I'm saying? Out here embarrassing us. That's why I can't wait till we get our title back next year. And then we can show you how a real playoff team looks like. Sincerely, Coast Nation. But Chiefs, though, the Chiefs, let me tell you something about the Chiefs. But as much as, you know, losing Jeremy Maclin could definitely hurt, I really do give this Chiefs team a chance to do something in New England. Now, do I think they will win? No. But can they win? Absolutely. Because I just think it's accumulation of a ton of things. I look at, for one, you look at this Chiefs team that is playing with so much confidence and on such a high level. And most importantly, they're playing with house money. I think out of 10 analysts, maybe one or two might have the guts to say Kansas City could win. And even then, it will have to take them selling themselves on a whole lot. On a whole lot. You look at this New England team, they could be healthy for this game. I mean, Julian Edelman may be back along with some others, but this New England team is not the same team as it was in the beginning of the season. They've shown cracks, whether it's because of injuries, whether it's because of a lack of execution. Cracks are in the armor. You know what I'm saying? So if you're Kansas City and you're playing at a high level recently and you've been able to plug in people and do your thing, you shouldn't necessarily be scared about going into Foxborough and playing the Patriots. You should just be ready to play and just believe. Because I feel like Kansas City, in terms of a percentage of them winning, I would honestly give them a 35% chance. A 35 to 40% chance of winning. Like I told you before, I think New England's going to win. But Kansas City has a legit chance of winning this game. You can't just go back and say, nah, they don't. Nah, no way they do. Because let's also keep this in mind, too, folks. I understand this is Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know, 4 Super Bowl rings in a decade. Yeah, we're awesome. Woo! But let's still not forget that at the end of the day, despite an extra ring, New England has still lost in the playoffs at home multiple times. The New York Jets can tell you that. The Baltimore Ravens can tell you that. This New England team has had its struggles at times in the playoffs, especially at home. And let's just say they haven't been necessarily 100% shoo-in in these situations in which they're supposed to win. Chiefs-Patriots, to me, is going to be a very interesting game. I'm definitely going to try to catch most of that game because this upcoming Saturday, I'm expecting to be at Columbia University again to cover some more Ivy League action in basketball when Columbia, I think, faces Cornell. But regardless of what happens, I will make the effort to watch that game because I feel like that is a must-watch game. It really, really is, you know? Let's go ahead and take a look at the NFC. Hey, Blair Walsh, I would like to send my condolences to you because you are going to get killed over the next few months on social media. My advice, don't check your mentions. That game between Seattle and Minnesota, wow. Not often do you say wow to a 10-9 game, but that game deserves a wow because I'm pretty sure just like everybody else watching that game, we thought Blair Walsh was going to make that damn kick. I'm thinking, man, Teddy Bridgewater and the crew is about to get this dub. Wow. And then he missed. Is Seattle one of the luckiest teams in football? Abso-freaking-lutely. They have some luck. But at the same time, you think, is it really luck? Or is it meant to be? And to be honest, when I see how they won yesterday, it makes me even more mad that they lost the Super Bowl last year. Because you got to think, this could be a team that could have been a back-to-back Super Bowl winning champion. Straight appearance. We was robbed of that because of a dumb play call at the one-yard line. Patriots fans definitely won't apologize, and they shouldn't. But still, just think about that, though, man. We really were one dumb play. We was one play call away, the right play call away from seeing a back-to-back Super Bowl champion aiming for their third straight Super Bowl appearance. And I think the biggest thing, too, from this wild card weekend is the fact that we're getting the matchups we want. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for as much as, yes, all four home teams lost yesterday, which I think is really interesting. I mean, how often has that happened? All of the home playoff teams, regardless of the round, lose. Houston at home, lose. Cincinnati at home, lose. Minnesota at home, lose. Washington at home, lose. It's very intriguing to me. But at the same time, though, it's also like we got the matchups we want. Seattle winning, hey, that means Seattle goes to Carolina next week. We want to see that. That was the best matchup. I wanted Kirk Cousins to win so damn bad yesterday. I wanted Washington to win yesterday because of my guy, Captain Kirk. But Green Bay at Arizona next week, oh, I like that. Same thing with Pittsburgh. I wanted Pittsburgh to win. Pittsburgh at Denver, cool with me. Kansas City at New England, cool with me. We're going to have some pretty good games, man. These are some pretty good games. And in case you didn't know the schedule for this weekend, the first playoff game for the divisional round is Chiefs-Patriots, 4:35 game, CBS. Then the night game is Green Bay at Arizona, 8:15 NBC. Then the next day we have Seattle at Carolina, 1:05, and then 4:40, Pittsburgh versus Denver. So these are the four best matchups that we could have hoped for. You know, like, this is really, really the best matchups that we could have worked for. So we just have to just wait and see. But I do think in all of these matchups, there is a sense of anybody could win. Well, except Green Bay, Arizona. Because I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think Arizona is going to do what they do best, and they're going to win against Green Bay. I feel like personally you could put Arizona in the NFC title game already. I know that's crazy to say. How dare you count out Aaron Rodgers already? Well, I'm counting them out. Deal with it. I think Green Bay will lose next week. Unless somehow, some way, this turns into 2010 again and Rodgers and the Packers make that miraculous postseason run. Just being completely honest here. I feel like the Chiefs have a better chance of beating the Patriots than the Packers do the Cardinals. I'm being dead serious. I really, really do. But that Seattle-Carolina game, man, that intrigues me. That really does, because I know if other people have been saying it, but I've been saying it too on my side. I feel like for Carolina, it's either going to be a Super Bowl win or a one-and-done appearance in the playoffs for them. It's going to be one or the other. Like, it's not going to be – I don't think there's going to be a middle. Like, yeah, we make it to the title game and lose. Nah. It's either one and done or they win a Super Bowl. And I think those two options are very realistic. Because if they lose next weekend, they would have lost to Seattle, a team that's made two Super Bowls in a row, and they won one. So even though it would be disappointing, at the same time, it's like, well, you did lose to Seattle, who has that edge over you in terms of postseason experience. Or you win the Super Bowl. Because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, who's really that team out of the AFC that we could say for certain, yeah, they're going to beat Carolina? Who can you really say? You know? But I'm definitely intrigued by that game. I really am. I can't wait to see it. You know, Russ versus Cam. I mean, before that game, shouldn't the MVP announcement be made already? Or are we really doing that, what you call it? Or are we doing that award ceremony where we're going to find out the MVP in February, like the night before the Super Bowl? I think we might be doing that. But the news should be out, right? Hopefully. I mean, I think it's very obvious who's MVP. Cameron Newton, campaign for MVP, CamVP. What else I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Yesterday I was talking about Kirk Cousins' next contract. Because, of course, that's the next thing in line to discuss if you're Washington. And let me just reiterate this point that I've been making so many times recently. Seems like Washington and the New York Jets need to build off this year and move forward with the winning attitude and do things in a short window. Just focus on now and build on that. Not everybody's meant for long-term building. You dig what I'm saying? Not everybody's meant for that. I think Washington and the Jets need to do that in particular. But when it comes to Kirk Cousins, when I was thinking about a deal for him, the deal that came in mind for me, I would say, was 3 years for $36 million. That's $12 million a year. And with incentives, that could be bumped up to $40 million. Now, when I was thinking about this last night, I said, you know what, there may be a problem here. And that problem could be 3 years may be too short. Kurt might want some more. You know, I was like, you know, Kurt may want some more money for that. But at the same time, I also think, and I say, you know what? Not every quarterback in the league has a long-term deal. There's some guys out there that's playing on some 3-year deals right now. Just look at Carson Palmer. Look at Matthew Stafford. There's a few more. Of course, you have your Brian Hoyers. But we all know Kirk Cousins is better than Brian Hoyer, along with some other guys. I'm trying to see. Trying to look for Nick Foles' deal. I don't think I can find Nick Foles' contract. That stinks, because I've seen it. But if 3 years don't work, I would do 4 years. And I'd probably say, you know what, 4 years for 52. I'm not sure how the math comes out to that, but I'm about to do the math right now live on the air, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to do the math live on the air. 4 years for 52. Let me see. What are we talking about? Time out. That's $13 million a year. So if you start with him getting paid $13 million a year, he's in a, not Andy Dalton, sorry, a Sam Bradford and Nick Foles. But if you include incentives, then he could be put in the same bracket as an Andy Dalton and a Carson Palmer and who knows, maybe a Phillip Rivers. Possibly not. Actually, no, because Phillip Rivers is making over $20 million. But still, that's not bad. I think if you're Washington and you're paying Kirk Cousins, you just don't want to exceed, I think personally, $18 million a year. You don't want that. I feel like for a guy like Kurt, who for as much as, yes, he turned it around in the second half, we have to be realistic. He still didn't beat no winning teams when it mattered. You know, he didn't beat no winning teams when it mattered. And I think with the incentives, that could boost it up to $17 million a year if you put in it such as, okay, win this many amount of games, beat these type of teams, statistically reach this mark, reach that mark, reach that mark, and, of course, make the playoffs. That would be a fair deal for a dude who was a freaking fourth-round pick, maybe making, what, a couple million a year? If he was, 4 years for 52, expenses could bump it up to 17. That's great. That would be a great deal. And before I go, let me just tell you this. Once again, you have to pay anybody that's contributing to your team. There's a risk with paying everybody. But with quarterback, you have to understand, guys, there is no choice. If you have a quarterback that's playing good ball, you have to take him back. Straight up, like, you have to do all you can to bring that player back. The only way you don't is if you really believe, man, there's somebody much better out there. But if there isn't somebody much better, you need to keep that person. Especially when you think about the fact we're in a time where the quarterback class is entering the NFL for at least the last three drafts hasn't been the strongest. Hasn't been the strongest. So if you've got somebody there, that's the answer, even if it's for right now. You make sure that he's the answer, or you make sure you stay around long enough to see if he really is the answer. And build off that. If you're Washington, you should be building off this. Washington now has the potential to be the best team in that division. I would go as far as saying Washington has the potential that if it goes right, to really control that division now. Crazy as that may sound, because we're talking about the NFC East. It changes hands all the time. But Dallas, Tony Romo's getting older and injury prone. Those guys are getting older around that supporting cast in Dallas, and they have issues. The New York Giants undergoing a new head coach. Eli's getting older, and they have holes to fix. Philly always having things to fix. You're not sure. You're Washington. You're arguably in the best situation. Players are extremely young, and you know what to build off of. Do it. But other than that, that's another episode of the Football Jones. Thank you for listening. I really do appreciate that. Man, I've never been perfect, but I'm worth it, you know. Hope you enjoyed this upcoming weekend. And before I go, as usual, please follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Check out my Tumblr. Everything is in the description below. And I have a new interview coming out later this week, Thursday to be exact, that I'm very excited about with Alan Stein. Let me say it again, Alan Stein. Who is he? He's a well-known basketball trainer that has worked with countless high school, collegiate, and professional players, and players such as LeBron James, Kevin Durant. The man has a great movement going on called Stronger Team. He's well-known all over the country and even now internationally, and I'm going to have him on my show. We're recording the interview tomorrow, to be exact, right? Because tomorrow's the 12th. We're going to touch on so many topics, basketball, training, so much stuff. And I know you'll enjoy the interview when it comes out on Thursday. And, of course, the Football Jones, we will be back next Monday at the same time to talk about what happened in the divisional round. But other than that, I hope you have a good week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. I'll talk to you guys next time. Ah, ah, ah.